everywhere. There's no natural predators in New Zealand, so the sheep can literally roam free on the mountainside and in the fields and just have their run of the country behind the fence. And so they can do what they want to do. But, you know, for all the beauty of New Zealand and for all of its wealth and for everything that it has to offer, the best way that I could describe New Zealand is that it's dark spiritually. In 2010, there was an atheist group. They wanted to put a billboard on the side of New Zealand bus that said, good without God, over a million Kiwis are, there probably is no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Listen, without Christ, life is hopeless. Without Christ, life has no meaning. But I love Jeremiah 17:7, where it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. That's our only hope in this life, is Jesus Christ. And that's the hope that God has called Jenny and I to take to the people of New Zealand, whether they're Kiwi or Maori or some European, whether from England or Australia or whoever's there, they're all part of New Zealand. And so we've been called to share the gospel with everybody in New Zealand, not just in Ashburton. There are four prayer requests that I'd like to share with you this morning. And I know I'm not saying a whole lot about New Zealand. I do want to give you an opportunity to ask some questions here in a minute. We have four prayer requests that we'd like you to pray with us about. We've been on deputation a little over 2 years. We say 2.5 years because last year doesn't count. And so we had about 17 meetings canceled last year, which was frustrating for most of the missionaries and churches and things like that. A few of those did reschedule, and we'll be in one of those churches later on in December. But we are at 91% of our support, as Pastor mentioned just a little bit ago. So we're excited what God has done. One of those churches that supports us, we've never been there. It was really interesting how that came about. We were in Maryland, and a pastor came to us, or his daughter came to me, and she said, I've taken a picture of your prayer card, and I sent it to my dad in Arkansas. And so as a few months went by, he called me, or I called him. Somehow we got in touch with each other. We scheduled a meeting that got rescheduled, then COVID canceled it. And so I sent him a text message in January of, I believe it was January of this year. And I said, hey, Pastor, would it be possible for us to come and present our burden for New Zealand to your church? I know we've been trying to do this for a while. Wanted to reach out and see if that'd be an opportunity. And he sent a message back in February. He said, sorry, with COVID the way it is, everything's been shut down. We're not able to have anybody in, and we can't take on any new missionaries right now. I said, I completely understand, you know. And so we were out here in Phoenix in June, and I get a text from him one Sunday morning. We were getting ready to go to church. And I get a text from the pastor. He says, hey, I just want to let you know this past Wednesday, we voted to take you all on for support. That's just how God works, you know. And so we've never been to his church. And so that was a blessing to us. That really, you know, when you talk about faith builder, that really did help our faith quite a bit. But anyway, so we're at 91%. God's been very good to us. And we would like to be at 100% within the next few, weeks. It would be nice to be at 100% by November or at the end of December. So would you pray that God would get us to 100% here in the next little bit? I say little bit. God said, behold, I come quickly. He's not back yet. I think his idea of quickly and mine are two different things. So we'd like to be done here pretty soon. So if you'd pray with us on that, that'd be great. Secondly, we're praying that the borders of New Zealand would reopen soon. They've been closed since March of last year. So a year and a half, and no tourists have been able to enter the country. New Zealand relies on tourism a lot for their economy. And so being that the borders are closed and they lock down cities with one or two cases, they'll lock down an entire city. You know what I'm talking about. It's ridiculous. But it is what it is. They've talked about reopening the borders early this year. It did not happen. And so they're talking about early 2022. So would you pray that they would make good on that and actually open the borders early in the year so that we can get there? We'd like to be there by March. Not just us, but there are other missionary families on deputation to go to New Zealand as well that want to be there. So we're asking that you would pray that New Zealand would open the borders, not just for us, but for those other missionaries trying to get there. And then number three, would you pray for the salvation of New Zealand? Last year, New Zealand enacted the most what what people would call the most progressive abortion bill in the world. Basically, if a baby survives an abortion, they can leave that baby on the table to die and not render any aid. That is sick. It's depraved. It's sinful. And New Zealand needs to be saved. Would you please pray for the salvation of New Zealand? This year, they've already enacted a euthanasia bill. My heart breaks for New Zealand folks. The euthanasia bill states that if you're 18 years of age or older and you have 6 months or less to live, they'll help you end your life. What I believe that has done is that is going to allow the generation coming up today that doesn't know God or doesn't believe that God exists or they don't need him if he does, to say when you've reached a certain age, you're now a burden on society, we're going to end your life. Or to say, you know, if you've got a physical ailment where you're missing a limb or you can't hear, you can't speak, or you can't see, or whatever it might be, to say you've reached a point where you're going to be a burden on society, we're going to end your life. That's what I believe that door has been opened now. So Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If I could say it like this without changing scripture, brethren, my heart's desire or our heart's desire in prayer to God for New Zealand is that they might be saved. Would you please pray for the salvation of New Zealand? And then number 4, God has called us to be church planters in New Zealand. And so we believe that means that we should start a church and then turn that church over to a national pastor. So we're asking that you would pray that God would begin to raise up men in New Zealand now that could take those churches that God allows us to start. And, you know, specifically on that, that it's a man who, of course, has been saved and he's been called by God to be a pastor and then trained to do that. And so those are the 4 prayer requests we have. We'd appreciate you praying with us, and we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I would like to say, if you have any questions, this would be a great time to do it. But I do want to let you know our table is in the back, in the hallway there. And so we've got prayer cards that are free today, so get them while they're free. And, of course, we'll leave a few with us with you before we leave. But we've got some neat things on the table. We'd love for you to come by and get to know you a little bit, and we can get to know you. And so, but if anybody has any questions, it's a great time to ask. Yes, sir, Pastor.
I'd just like to begin by asking you what methods of outreach they have found successful over there, and what perhaps do you anticipate using to reach the people? What methods?
Okay. Very good question. When my wife married me, she married a dreamer. I have a lot of big ideas. I have a lot of dreams. I have a lot of things that I've asked the Lord to let happen. So as far as the outreach, door knocking does not work very well until they know why. Well, it works well until they know why you're there. If you're government and you're there to give them something or just somebody taking a survey, that might work. We could probably go door knocking and just say, hey, we're surveying the area and we're just asking questions of people what they believe about God. But what really seems to work the best is something called letterboxing. Here in the States, you can't put anything in somebody's mailbox unless you're a mail carrier. If you get caught, you could get in trouble. I'm not sure what the fine. But in New Zealand, we can put the Gospel of John and Romans. We can put church informational things in their mailboxes and try to get an idea of where they stand on religion or on God, the Bible, eternity, salvation. We can ask them questions like that. And some missionaries have been able to get those questionnaires back, which gives them an inroad to inviting them to their home or being invited to the resident's home. Other forms of outreach would be hunting trips and fishing trips. Hunting and fishing in New Zealand is a big deal. So if you're a hunter or a fisherman, you have an open invitation to come to New Zealand and do some amazing hunting and some fantastic fishing. We're talking trophy trout that are about 4.5-5 feet long and weigh several pounds. So I can't remember what the trophy trout was. It was a brown trout, and I guess it was massive. And so those are the kind of fish that we have in New Zealand and some of the good places to fish. So getting somebody on a boat out in the middle of a lake, you're kind of a captive audience at that point. There's not too many places they can go, so you have an opportunity to share the gospel there. Backpacking is also a very big deal in New Zealand. People love to backpack from the South Island all the way to the other end of it, and sometimes on the North Island. And so we've talked about opening up a kind of a bed and breakfast, an Airbnb, something like that, as an outreach ministry that allows people to come and they can have a place to stay that's got good food and clean sheets and a clean place for them to stay overnight. It would not, I would not charge them anything except for they need to hear the gospel. And so that would be the only thing that we would charge them is their ear time. So so that would be an outreach as well. But there's, and then of course, being out on the street, handing out tracts and things like that, that is something that also could work. But a lot of it is letterboxing, so.
Are you allowed to?
Yes. Now, New Zealand is trying to enact a hate speech bill. And of course, that's what's going on here in America too. The whole, if somebody comes to me and they're from the ABC community or they're homosexual, gay, whatever their orientation is, and they come and ask me what my opinion is or what God's word says, or if I take them to God's word and say, well, this is what the Bible says and this is what I believe, if they report me, I can go to jail for 5 years. That's fine. I'll go to jail for 5 years, and then when I come out, I'll go and do it again. Good question. I don't know the answer to it, and I don't want to speculate. I do know that the churches over there, because they had to close as well, they did use the Zoom meetings. I know Victory Baptist, we've joined in on the Zoom meetings with Victory, and so I think a lot of that was just their main people were involved in that. I would say that for a lot of the missionaries that are over there, they don't put a lot of stuff on the internet because the government is so close to being socialist or communistic in their way of doing things that there could be some consequences for anything they might put out there that the government would disagree with. So they kind of shy away from that. Not in an area where we could go and see the Hobbit houses for the Lord of the Rings. That is something that we want to do when we get there, though. Just because, interesting fun fact about that, because the Lord of the Rings was such a huge success, Hobbit money is legal tender in New Zealand, and you can buy things with it. Yeah, I don't have any Hobbit money, but maybe one we'll get some runes. I don't know. Yes, ma'am. Exactly right. And it's all God's timing. I can't force somebody to get saved. I can't, you know, force them to read anything that we send them. But that's amazing, and I praise the Lord with y'all on that. That's awesome. I think I saw a hand over here. Maybe it's just my eyeballs.
I'm really glad to hear that you're going to go work with somebody.
So to begin with, it would be a religious worker visa that we'll apply for, and that allows us to apply for permanent residency after they've sponsored us in for that 3 years. So Victory Baptist Church will sponsor us in for 3 years, and then we can apply for our permanent residency after that, and that's usually about a 6 to 8 month process. So then we would
be
right, right, yeah. And they can't, as far as the way I understand it, we are citizens at that point. They can't kick us out. That we'd have to give up our resident or our American citizenship. Yeah. That would be hard for me to do. I'm an arrogant American. And that gets paid a certain wage, and it doesn't matter how many hours they work, they can work an hour and leave and still get paid the same amount of money. It's socialized medicine, which makes it even more difficult because, well, and it won't be for Jenny and I because we have, when we go, we will have an international insurance policy, so that policy will cover anything that happens to us. If I need heart surgery, I can have it done there. They know they're going to get paid, so above somebody who doesn't have insurance, they know that they're going to get paid for what we've needed to have done. So to deny care could be an issue later on, though, sure. If it means that, you know, it's either going to be a matter of doing this to save your life, you've only got 3 years left to live, versus somebody who could have 20 years to live, I imagine that they would have to make that choice at some point, which if we could, you know, garner a whole lot of money and be like, hey, I'll pay you to keep me alive. I don't want to do that, but we'll just trust the Lord for that. So, as people coming in that are not residents, we won't be able to own anything right off the bat. We'll have to wait for residency. But the housing is very expensive. So where we're, and I say that, it's changed a lot over the last 2.5 years since we started deputation. At the beginning of deputation, we could tell somebody, well, you know, rent's going to cost us $350 to $400 a week. And people are like, wow, that's really expensive. But it's getting to that point here in America now, too, where somebody wants to rent an apartment and they're going to pay about the same thing. But imagine, so in New Zealand, we pay by the liter, or we get fuel by the liter. So, and here in America, it's by the gallon. So imagine paying $9 a gallon for gas. So that's what we would pay in New Zealand, roughly, by the liter. I like to use the turkey analogy, and I never get it right. It was $55 American, $75 New Zealand for a 12-pound turkey, and that was 2.5 years ago when we went on our survey trip. So it's pretty pricey. We would like to rent something or have something that would be small enough for us to live in comfortably, but big enough that we could hold services for a short time in our living room. Right. Yeah. Amazing how we have seen the fuel prices increase in different places. And it's weird. Some places out west, it's been like little under $3. In some places, it's almost $4. I think the highest we paid is like $3.89 for a gallon of gas. And that was the low-grade stuff. And one time I hit the button wrong and I paid for the high grade. It was like $4.08 or something like that. It was pricey. But we have about 50 to 55 people attending. But there are times throughout the year, and most of the people that attend church in New Zealand are going to be Filipino. Some Kiwi folks will attend, but a lot of Filipinos. In the Filipino families, what they do is they come over and they work on the farms. So during the calving season, the church membership kind of drops a little bit because the farmers require the men to be there for the calving. So for a short time, the membership will diminish a little bit, or the attendance, not membership, the attendance will diminish. But an average church size is about 50 to 55, so I think that's what they're running right now. It was for the Lord to raise up men in New Zealand to take the churches that God allows us to start. And that's, yeah.
Now, we've seen some success stories in
Australia. As far as...
The
Australians look at the Kiwis as being their redneck cousins. So, that's usually what happens when you can't beat somebody in a sport like rugby. You look down on them, you know. So I think New Zealand is a little bit more open than Australia on that front. I've heard some stories about Australia just being hard, like solid rock hard in the heart. And New Zealand is getting to that point where they're becoming much harder. I think I'm getting off the answer to your question.
No, you're
killing me. Okay. I don't look at this as being something where we're going to hang out a shingle today and tomorrow have, you know, 50 people show up on our doorstep for church. It's a time-consuming process over there. And it's all about relationships with the people.
Yeah.
And we've got some families down in Dunedin. The missionary families that are there, they seem to have a good relationship with the people. And I think a lot of his approach, if I got up, I think it works here even in America, if I was to get up into your face, you being the lost person, and I get up into your face and I just, you know, just beat this guy to death about salvation, I mean, he's not... How inclined are you to listen to that? Probably not very much. I wouldn't want to. I don't like people getting into my face with their teeth and their claws bared. So a lot of it is going to be just a relational thing. And so I was telling Jan, and I mentioned to another pastor a couple of weeks ago, when we get to New Zealand, I don't want to live, you know, a few minutes from the church. I don't even want to live on the property if they have a house on the property. I want to get away from the church where we're going to be working initially, because I want the people in that town to know us for just being Americans in the country. They don't need to know right away why we're there. We can just say, well, you know, I retired from AT&T, and so we came to New Zealand to live.
Well, it does say a lot. I mean, I've heard this.
It's showing them that, hey, we're here because we love you. Yeah. And that's the message that we want to get across. But to go to yours, the gentleman in the video, one of the last guys that they talked to, the younger people, he said it's probably just the oldies just sticking in there. And that's the mentality of the young people today in New Zealand. They don't believe that there needs to be church or an organized. They don't believe in the organized religion. And so they feel like, you know, they can just live a good life and just do right by people. So, great, y'all having us. Very good questions. This is probably one of the best Q&As that we've had. And so I always like to have good Q&A time. And so y'all ask some really good questions. Pastor, thank you again for having us.
Yes.
Oh, round one-way airfare is about 30.